Okay. So the second of our Machshava Chaburas on Inyan Tshuva, I decided to pick a piece from Rav Yitzhak Huttner's Pachad Yitzhak. This is Maimer Yudches. You should have two. Is it double sided, right?
Yeah.
Maimer Yudches in the Pachad Yitzhak on Rosh Hashanah. Pachad Yitzhak is a collection of svarim. There is a volume of letters and there is a volume on Shabbos, but most of them and what it's most famous for are pieces on the holidays. As you see on the top, they're referred to as ma'amarim, and that reflects the fact that these were originally given orally, and then they were edited and written down. I believe the well known, and I think it's pretty, you know, I don't think it's disputed, although maybe in certain circles it's controversial. Masora is that the initial or primary editor of these was actually his daughter, who only had one child, Rebbetzin David. She should live and be well. She was the head of a very well-known seminary in Yerushalayim, BJJ. And her husband, son-in-law, Rav Huttner, eventually they made Aliyah, and they have Yeshivas Pachad Yitzchak. My son actually was a counselor on Camp Simcha this summer for Israeli kids who came to America for Camp Simcha. And my son's in Hezder, but most of the other Israeli counselors, he said, were from more Haredi yeshivas. And he said, Abba, I have all these friends now from yeshivas Pachad Yitzchak. So not something I ever would have expected. I'm glad he had that experience. Anyway, these were very, very famous oral presentations. And the Sfarim, in certain circles, and I'd say especially in recent years, have definitely gained a certain amount of popularity. Since I was literally about your age, I've been a huge fan of these. And I have to say, if I look back, all the pieces I have the whole set at home. This may be my favorite piece. I think this is really, really an amazing piece. And I'm very excited to share it with you. For me, I have to say in advance, I know I might be overhyping it, but I'm going to risk it. It was a game changer for me. So I hope it will have a similar impact on you. It really was a game changer for me in terms of my understanding of tshuva, and especially Rosh Hashanah and the role of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So let's go. So the way, by the way, the sefer works, if you actually had a sefer in front of you, is he doesn't usually quote any sources where he's getting the material from in the piece. In the back of the sefer, chapter by chapter, mimer by mimer, it then gives you, you know, where things are coming from. So even though he doesn't tell you here, he starts off by quoting a Gemara, Shlosha Svarim Niftachim V'Gomer, etc. This is the famous Gemara that says that in Rosh Hashanah there are three books that are opened. What are the three? So we know Tzadikim Gemurim, Rishayim Gemurim, and Beinonim, right? The evil, the righteous, and the in-between. So says Rav Huttner, continuing in the quotation, Tzadikim Gemurim, what does the Gemara say? Nechtamim la'altar l'chaim. Already in Rosh Hashanah, they're signed and sealed for life. Rishayim Gemurim la'altar l'misa. The Rishayim are signed and sealed immediately for death. Ubeinonim, and the people in the middle, Tluyin va'omdin ad Yom Kippurim. Aseres Yemei Tshuva is for them. They are suspended, if you will, their judgment is suspended until they get to Yom Kippurim. Zachu, if in the intervening days they accrued extra merit, they were Zoche, that tips the scales, Nechtamim L'chaim, and they're signed on Yom Kippur for life. Lo Zachu, Nebuch, Rachmana Letzlan, if they weren't able to tip the scales, then even though they're still only a Beinoni, it seems, nevertheless, that doesn't cut it on Yom Kippur Nechtamim L'misa. That is the Gemara. So it basically comes out that Aseres Yemei Tshuva is actually only for one group of the three. Now, it's not clear that it might be the biggest group. Maybe 99% of people are in the group. It depends on how you define the group, which is going to be our topic to learn about. But in theory, I mean, it seems clear from the Gemara that Aseres Yemei Tshuva is actually only for people who are Beinonim. Now, it could be you'll say that it's for everyone because we don't know what book we're in. Okay, practically, but at least in principle, it's clear from the Gemara that Aseres Yemei Tshuva is for the Beinonim. Their judgment is suspended, tol v'omed, until we see what they did on Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and they get the final judgment on Yom Kippur. So far, so good. Here's where the fun starts. So, says the Rav Huttner, that's all fine and good in the Gemara. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Kehesh Hitik Brais Hazu, when he quotes this Gemara, Shina Lashna Gemara. The Rambam changes the Lashon of the Braisa. Now, in fact, there's only one word. But again, the fact that he quoted every other word pretty much verbatim and only changed the one word is in and of itself telling. So says the Rambam, here's the Rambam. The Sugyun HaLashon Huzachu Nechtam L'chaim. In the Gemara, when it talks about the Bein and Yana Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it says he has to do what? To be Zoche. Do one extra mitzvah. Do one thing of kibbutz of aim. Do one thing of bikur cholim. Or extra minute of Talmud Torah. And that'll tip the scale. However, the Rambam is Shina HaLashon Vehetik Im Asu Tshuva Echtamim L'chaim. The Rambam changes the word Zachu to the word Tshuva. Ubamokum Zachus Bichlal, instead of being able to be Zoche, tip the scales with any random schus. Higbil esa'inyin lechuva dafka. The Rambam limits it to chuva dafka. Now, aside from the question of, you know, authority, like how could the Rambam change the lashon? Let's leave that less interesting question. The more obvious, you could say, Musar, Hashkafa, Halacha, or yes, philosophical question is a question asked by numerous Mefarshim. He attributes it, but it's not exclusively to Umaran Hagon of Yitzchak Blazer mi Peterburg. That is Rav Itzel mi Peterburg, or of Yitzchak Blazer. He was one of the small group of Tamidim Muvhakim of Rav Yisrael Salanter. I should stress that just like Rav Yisrael, his initial group of primary Tamidim, who were not only Gedolim and Musar, as they're famous for, but Yisrael Salanter himself was a Gadol in Shas and Poskim, as were that first immediate generation of Talmudim Muvhakim. As the Musar movement distilled and went through generations, you had a lot of tzaddikim who were tremendously insightful in the world of Avoda and Panemius. But again, I don't want to disparage anyone and start using names, but some of the most famous people in the more recent generations of Musar, we don't think of. I don't know what they did or didn't know, it's hard to tell, but we don't have written contributions at minimum, and maybe even more than that, frankly, of their godless in Shas and Poskim. We think of them as, you know, tzaddikim who had great insights into Avodas Hashem. So it's just worth noting that Yisrael Salanter himself and people like Rav Itzel Peterburg were Gedolim and Shas and Poskim. If they had nothing on Musar, they'd still be prominent Achronim. But they also were a tremendous Bale Musar. So the Rav Itzel Peterburg, his Sefer on Lomdus is called Pri Yitzchak. His Sefer on Musar is called Koch Ve'or. So in the Koch Ve'or, Rav Itzel Peterburg asks the question, Hirgish Bekan Timi Rapsa. It's a tremendous plea. It's a really a difficult Rambam. Hare HaBeinani Hu Zesha Maisev Shkulim Vein L'tov HaChra L'ra Vim Kein Kol Zuhur Shetia Lo Tia Ma Shetia B'yada Lo Hotzi Mechlal Palgo U'Palgo L'chnis L'chal Ruba Zuchuyos U'lishchuso L'amiso L'chaim Tovim. How do you assume, what is the definition of Beinoni Tzaddik in Russia? So says Rav Itzel Peterburg, the Pashtus is, what's a Tzaddik? Someone with Rubo Zechuyos. He has more mitzvos. What's a Russia? Someone with Rubo Avonos. More Averos. And what's the Beinoni? Palga Upalga. 50-50. Well, if that's the case, then the Lashon of the Gemara isn't just more authoritative because it's the Gemara. It's more accurate. As he says, any schus it should be, tiyya mashetiyya, what's a very good for turn of phrase, tiyya mashetiyya, whatever it'll be, what's the difference? Bikracholim, tzedakah, kibar avayim, tefillin, what's the difference? Any schus should tip the scales. So it's not just a curiosity why he would switch it. I'll add, the switch is of significance, because this is, I would say clearly, a massive chumrah of the Rambam. Not only because he limits our options, and you know, in life, not only in modern life, but especially in modern life, we like options and freedom. But it's not only that. Tshuva is hard. Tshuva shlema, tshuva gemura is hard. You know, it's good. We should do tshuva. The Beinoni should do tshuva. But let's say he didn't. Let's say he just gave an extra tzedakah. The tzedakah pusher in the community, the rabbis, you know, hisorus, you know, tshuva, tfila, you know, tzedakah, matzirus rohag zera, he gave extra tzedakah. Why isn't that enough? Why are you going to be so demanding that he has to do charata and kabbalah la'asid and vidoy? He should do that. But if he didn't, and he was zoche, and he tipped the scales, why shouldn't that help? Right, that's more or less the question of Rav Itzel Peterburg and others. Right, and so, like all really, really good questions, what is important for us is not only answering the Rambam. That's good, and we'll do that. But what Rav Huttner does is, in order to answer the Rambam, that requires us to take a step back and completely reevaluate our whole understanding of what these categories are. And I would say, to put it in a modern sprach, a modern parlance, how we define ourselves. And he says it right away in the first sentence of the second section. Omnam tmiyazu tamsi lanu mekor motze yafeh leberur hamabat sharubos chuyos rubaveros bichlal. Right. This question is not just it's not a problem. Right. In life, it's a good perspective to have. Right. Questions aren't problems; they're opportunities. Right. We thought we understood something, but it led us to a dead end. So by realizing we're at a dead end, that actually force us to reevaluate and gain a deeper insight into the whole discussion, the whole category, and maybe we'll also answer the Rambam. You know, we won't forget about the Rambam. More important is understanding these ideas bichlal. So says Rav Huttner the following, second line of Osbet. Shigur samachshava tofeses as a musag ruba zchuyos as a musag ruba vonos kamusag kamuti, which is what we've been assuming until now, right? Shigur delisha. The simple understanding is that these categories of rubo zchuyos, rubo avonos, tzaddik in Russia, it is a cumulative, and determination. It's not qualitative, it's quantitative. Kamuti. How much? Klomer. Afal pisha bevadai ein mispar hagorim habil adi. The shiko zeshal rubos chios ola hefech. It's true, says Rav Utner. Again, even the simple person is not that stupid. It's not that simple to think that you add up how many mitzvahs that I do is 27, how many averos 26, I'm a tzaddik. Because everyone understands, says Rav Utner, that of course different mitzvahs might be worth different points. So certain mitzvahs are worth 10 points, certain mitzvahs are only worth 2 points, and certain averos nevach deduct 10 points, and certain averos only deduct 2 points. But mikol malkum, says Rav Utner, okay, so fair enough. So the accounting is not just enough for a guy who did his intro to accounting, but you have to have major in accounting and get a CPA. It's complicated accounting, but accounting is still accounting. It's still a cumulative, a quantitative determination. His bottom line is, you can't change the fact that as of now, we're still assuming, we're adding up the numbers. What I just, in order to make it a little shorter, I took out, he adds one section, which I think is just worth bringing out, Baal Peh, which is, he says, not only is it obvious that obviously not every mitzvah applies is the same, not every person is the mitzvah going to be the same, right? If you have a big nisayon to eat treif and you avoid it, so maybe for you that's worth 10 points, and for someone else who has no nisayon at all, that's barely anything. You have a nisayon to sleep late, so the fact that you got up and daven, betzibur and with zman tefillah, that for you could be 100 points. And for someone else who wakes up at 6 in the morning anyway, maybe that's only worth 2 points. Or maybe when you were in yeshiva, certain nisyonos you didn't have. But now you're in university, you have different nisyonos. So whether it's person by person, stage of life, says Rav Utner, yes, obviously, we're not imbeciles, we're sophisticated. And we realize that that's why, as the Rambam in another place says, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do the math. The most senior partner at the most prestigious large accounting firm in the world, even he can't figure this one out. This is, you need the super duper accountant in the sky to figure it out. The Seder, says Rav Utner. So we know it's complicated, but a complicated what? It's still a complicated accounting of a cumulative quantitative number of sins and averos. Says Rav Utner, that's what we would think, and that assumption, which he said, he calls shigur d'lishna, I would say that's just a simple understanding of it. But says Rav Utner, the problem is that simple understanding leads us to what? A dead end. Because now we have this problem in the Rambam. So why did he change? If that was all correct, then l'chora, zochu in the language of the Gemara would be more correct. So why did the Rambam change the tshuva? We're left with the problem. Hamabad hachadashi, that's where it's underlined. I'm sorry, third paragraph. Kazu hi tfisash, we did that already? Yes, kazuhi tfisat shel shigrat hamashav. This is what we would think at first glance. B'musagim alalo shariba mitzvos rubas averos. But Rami says, however, lachar hamakas nachfarches hamashava bepnim yusam shel hamusagim rubas chuyas rubas achovos yitchadish etzleinu hamabat b'havanasam shel hamusagim el halalo. Says, but now we see that we have to think deeper, because that just got us stuck in a dead end. We have to be a little bit more philosophical, a little bit more thoughtful, and probe deeper into these concepts, because that's really the only way we can solve the problem. And what is this new chiddush? What is the new discovery, says Rav Utner, that this problem has forced us to discover? Hamabat hachadash hazeh mare lanu. This new perspective we have is that what? Ki rubo zechuyos einenu schum shal kama zechuyos yechidos, or rubo averos einenu schum shal kama averos yechidos. It is not true. That's the fundamental flaw. Rubo zechuyos, rubo averos, despite what the words seem to mean, says Rav Utner, don't believe your lying eyes. It's not what it means. It doesn't mean you add up the number of averos, even with all the complex points, or the add up the mitzvahs. It's not true. Because after all, he says, "Im v'schum askinon kios hayah madregas rubos chiyos mishtanis mishal l'sha mirega l'rega." So Rav Utner says there's another problem. It's not just that the Rambam won't make sense. Says Rav Utner, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because after all, if we're talking about a cumulative thing, so by nature, no one is static. We're all, over each day, doing, I hope, countless mitzvos. and most of us, a certain number, I hope not too many, but a certain number of eros. He says that would mean that if a person is anywhere near the border, your status is switching back and forth. Ki behizdamin lo la'odam zeh. Let's say a person woke up in the morning, and sure enough, we did the accounting. He's got 618,224 mitzvos. And he's got 573,291 averos. So he woke up. What do we say about this guy? Ruba zuchuyos. Tzaddik. But says Rav Huttner, what would happen if that guy who woke up at tzaddik, sheruba zuchuyos, bizdam lo'odam zeh, kama kishlonos bedarko, but he has a bad day. He overslept, he missed minyan. Then he said, I missed minyan anyway, let me go back to sleep. He missed zman tefillah, zman kriyashma. And because of that, he had a bad morning seder, bottled all the time. And when he was bottling anyway, he was speaking Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra. Then because he already felt so bad about himself, he forgot the bench. And in his room, he went on his phone, he looked at things he shouldn't look at. And before you know it, says Rav Huttner, Harehu mafsidis maloso shrubus chuyos. Before you know it, he's gone all the way down in the quantitative demarcation, and all of a sudden he went from being a tzaddik to a rasha in a matter of hours or in one day. Now you might say, okay, says Rav Huttner, no, that's absurd. That can't be. That just defies intuitive logic. Inyan zeh shel chiluf madrega mishal l'shah eino miskabel al hadas. Rav Huttner have a raya for it, or maybe a better way of saying it is, I think Rav Salvitch used to sometimes say this, you know, my raya is a finely tuned mind. And it just doesn't make sense. There's no mokur that Rav Huttner is quoting that it's wrong. He says if you follow the typical understanding to its logical conclusion, it becomes absurd. Now again, you might say, ena chinami. But for Rav Huttner, it's a reductio ad absurdum. It just can't be that you wake up in the morning and you said, Asher Yatzar, Tzadik, you know, but you cut someone off on the way to, you know, to the Charochel, Rasha, had a great morning Seder, Tzadik, you know, didn't do something you should have done during the break, Rasha. It's just like, if these terms mean anything, it can't be so easy to go back and forth. So therefore, Rav Huttner says, we must be missing something. So what must it be? Amnam, he says, Masha Hamabara Chadash Marelanu Kirubo Zchuyos. Here's the punchline: Hukav Boofio Shel Adam. What he's going to say at another point, but I'll say it here just because it's even a more clear formulation. It's a Mida Benefesh. It's a defining personal characteristics, or again, the term he uses here, kav ba'ofyo shel adam. It's a certain line of demarcation about the nature, the ofi, essence, the nature of the person. Who hakav hamushrash biyichaso shel osa adam shel tov el ra. And what's this defining? He says there's one defining attribute that makes you a tzaddik or a rasha. And what is that? How you relate to the good or how you relate to the bad. Rubo zechuyos. What does that really mean? According to this new understanding, zu mida banefesh. It's a character trait. Are you a rubo zechuyos guy? Are you a tzaddik or not? Is determined by this one singular mida. And what is that mida? Here it comes. Ha'amida hazu hu yotzeres banefesh ba'aleha es hamatzav shel hachra'a letzav tov bi'itzumo shel nefesh. It's all about your, I would put it in one word, commitment. In your kishkes, in your gut. If I were to open you up and look, mamish, with a spiritual magnifying glass into the guts of your neshama, in the pnime pnim, in the chadre chadarim, no one's around, no one's looking, you're not trying to impress anyone, not your parents, not your charusa, not your hopeful kala, nobody. Just inside, who are you, unvarnished? Itzumo shel hanefesh. Are you committed to doing good, or are you committed to doing bad? Says Rav Huttner, Memela, Kishem she'efshar lo l'odam asher midaso himidas ha'savlanos. I'll paraphrase this part so we don't run out of time. He says it's true. He's going to come back to the part that's important for us, but he gives a very effective mashal. There are certain people who are calm, patient, slow to anger people. Doesn't mean they never get angry. There are other people who are quick-tempered, impatient, angry people. That doesn't mean they're angry every minute. It doesn't mean that they never exhibit patience. But says Rav Huttner, nevertheless, there's a difference between when the patient guy Yotzei Dofen, out of the ordinary, got angry. And when the angry guy, who's always angry, gets angry, right? It's not the same thing. One is exhibiting who he really is, and one is almost an uncharacteristic failing, or, you know, whether it's for good or for bad, or for that matter, it's uncharacteristic that the guy was usually angry. Taka, this time, he was actually had patience and understood that his wife's not a perfect person, and, you know, didn't just snap at her because she didn't do, you know, whatever he was expecting right away. Okay, he called kavod to him, but that's not the same thing as saying is that he is a baal of rachmonos, a baal of patience, a baal of harmless. Let me just get a little bit further so we don't run out of time, and then I'll take whatever questions you have. So he says, similarly, he says, at the end of the paragraph, mamish kmokain is the same thing here. If a person is committed to good, he's nimtza b'matzav sharuba veris. He says Rav Hunter. Rav Hunter takes this to its logical conclusion. Now, some people might think this is absurd, but Rav Hunter says, yes, go for it. Therefore, he says, just like a patient person can every now and then get angry, you can have a person whose mida b'nefesh is what? His mida is rubo zchuyos. He's committed to doing good. In his heart of hearts, he wants to do the right thing. But not only does every now and then he make a mistake, if you go into the kamuti, he actually is rubo avonos. This is, again, this is mind-blowing chiddush. So the funner, you can be a tzaddik who's nechtam l'chaim, even though on the ledger you did more averus this past year. Because it's not about the quantity, it's not about the amount, it's about the midah b'nefesh. You're committed to doing good, but just nevach, you're weak. Nevach, you just don't have the yitzhak under control. Mitzad sheni, says the funner, the exact opposite is also true. You could be committed to doing bad. Your mom is a rasha. You're committed to doing bad. Elamai, you're a hapless and incompetent thief. Your whole life you're dreaming about stealing. Your whole life you're learning about money. But Lamaisa, you just can't get it. You don't steal anything. That makes you a tzaddik. No, you're a rasha because your whole life is committed to doing bad. Just it happens to be that this year you weren't such a good thief. You weren't such a good murderer. So you didn't do anything bad. Or you weren't such a good baal taiva, whatever the thing is. You happen to do more mitzvahs, but that's not who you are. You're like the angry guy who every now and then got calm. It's a completely different way of looking at things, says Rav Hunter. It's not the same thing. It's about who you are. Now, since we're running out of time, we have 2 minutes. Let's turn over the page. Now, he says, we understand the Rambam, which is really a way of saying, now we understand the third category. So what's a Beinoni, according to this? Says Rav Hutner. Now we understand. Why did the Rambam say, it's not enough to just do a Zchus? Because a Zchus, one mitzvah here, one mitzvah there, that won't help anything. If a person has the wrong midah b'nefesh, so what is having more zchuyos help? For all we know, when we're calling him a Beinoni, he already has a million more zchuyos. It's not about that. Rather, he has to do what? He has to change who he is. What's a word that we use for changing who you are? We call that tshuva, says the Futner. Now we understand the answer to the question. Since it's all about a midah b'nefesh, you see where it's double underlined? What is the midah? If a tzaddik gomor is committed to bad, and a rasha gomor is committed to good, bad, what is a beinoni? He doesn't more identify or more closely identify with the good or the bad. He is morally or spiritually Swiss. It may or may not be good in the world of diplomacy or international relations, but it is a fundamental corrupt character flaw in the midah of the nefesh as a partner. Because a person who is a beinoni means he's uncommitted, and you must be committed. Now, you also should try to actualize your commitments, too. It's not good to be Rubo Averos. But that's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. The din on Rosh Hashanah, which sefer you're being written into, is not about how many mitzvahs or many Averos you did, but where is your commitment lie? If your commitment genuinely lies to doing the right thing, then if you're not there yet, your Tzadik Hashem is going to invest in you and give you another year. And if Yataka or Rosh is committed to doing bad, achin vei. And what's a Beinoni? A Beinoni is also fundamentally flawed, because it's not enough to be morally neutral. A person has to be committed to doing the right thing. And that's, we'll just read the last line. Ki kavanas hachuva bakan hi shetikin as midas habbeinu yishalo. Rak hachuva hi shetachnis oso l'mechitzas rubo zechuyos v'yechtam l'altar l'chaim. Because it's not about how many more mitzvos. He could do 100 more mitzvos. But if he's not committed to mitzvos, he still remains a beinoni. And you'll say, why does a beinoni get nechtam l'misa on Yom Kippur? Because it's not enough to be a beinoni. Hashem didn't put us here to just be morally Swiss. We have to be committed. That's the massive chiddush, but to me, game changer in how I look at Rosh Hashanah, how I look at my spirituality, how I look at my avodas Hashem. And this is not an excuse to do more veros, but it is insight into how we look at ourselves and the whole world of our chayei nefesh. Question, please.
All right, thanks so much.